Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Meet the Author on Blog Talk Radio. My name is Denny Griffin, and for the next half hour, I'll be your host. My guest today is Mike Minton. Mike got his start in politics at the ripe old age of six when his father, G. Terry Minton, ran for alderman in Louisville, Kentucky. Mike has worked with campaigns to elect former Representative Ann Northrup, Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, and most recently with the Romney for President campaign. He got his start in writing career as a freelance reporter for Talon News Service and has since gone on to create his own news opinion blog, MrRightOpinion.com. He has been publishing a number of online and print publications to include Lincoln Heritage Institute, Men's News Daily, RightNation.us, BDare.com, Hawaii Reporter, Jefferson Review, CivilHomelandDefense.us, and others. Mike is a member of the Providence Baptist Church in Brooks, Kentucky, single father of two daughters, amateur genealogist, and has been involved in acting, most recently appearing in Camelot at the Kennedy Center for the Arts in Louisville in 2005. And his book is Unplugged and Unashamed. Mike, welcome to Meet the Author.
Hey, Denny. Good to meet you. Nice to be here. Appreciate you having me.
Just a minute, I'm going to ask you a few questions. But before we get started, if anyone is interested in calling in and talking to Mike or asking Mike a question, you can reach us at 646-478-0982. That's 646-478-0982. And if you're on my Blog Talk Radio site, you can also reach us through the chat room, the Dennis N. Griffin chat room. And if you text a question, I'll relay it to Mike and he can respond to it.
I don't even see it there at the moment, Danny. Just
Well, I don't know what shows it's on. Well, once we get started, I'll see if I can find out if there's a problem. At any rate, what I'm going to do also is in a few minutes I want to ask Mike to give out his contact information, such as his website and so forth. So anybody who's interested, make a note of that. If you have a paper and pencil handy, we'll get to that shortly. Mike, can we start off by you telling us a little bit about your book?
Sure, absolutely, Denny. I'll tell you, I've been writing on this the blog that you'd mentioned, Mr. Right Opinion. It's not MrRightOpinion.com, so if anybody goes there, it's not what they'll find. Mine is MrRightOpinion.blogstream.com. So just to avoid the confusion. But it's also mirrored at MrRightOpinion.blogtownhall.com as well. But I haven't been doing any blogging the last few weeks. I had back surgery a couple weeks ago, and I just haven't been able to sit at the computer as long as I'd like. But the way I came up with the book, I've always been conservative, you know, since I was a very young person. My dad, as I mentioned, when I was six, ran as a Republican for the office of alderman in Louisville, Kentucky. And unfortunately, although he did win the primary election, he lost the general to, you know, a more prominent Democrat. And it's still the case today. It's hard for a Republican to get elected in Louisville for a dog catcher, you know, much less on the actual city government. But anyway, that kind of interested me in politics, but I was just a normal kid. I didn't really care a whole lot about it, you know, at that time. And growing up, I didn't think a whole lot about politics. Ronald Reagan, when he was in his final year of office, I guess it was, I was 18, and I decided to join the Navy at that time, you know, after living through the horror of the Carter years and then seeing what can be done right in the Reagan years. It was just my premise and my where my desire, my drive to join the service came from. So I did that, and like unfortunately many of us, after we get there, they find a predisposed condition that they didn't know about beforehand. I didn't know about beforehand, And that saw me medically discharged from the Navy back in 87, the same year I went in. So I was discharged, honorably discharged with, erroneous enlistment and, however they phrase that. I can't remember now. It's been 20 years. But anyway, after that, at the age of 28, I got married, and by 30, I had my first child, and by 32, I had my second child, and things just took on a whole new light for me, Now I'm responsible for two other lives and everything they do and how they grow up and how their minds are shaped and opinions are shaped. And, I wanted to play as large a role in that as I could, but to do that, I had to educate myself on what was going on, And I spend a lot of time just catching up on news and watching governmental workings and the goings-on in government. And I started being a freelance correspondent for Talon News Service, which you may or may not know is GOPUSA.com. And they had had a blast doing it. Did it for, well over a year. That was back when we first went into Iraq, and the discussion, the debate of WMD was all, all the rage, I guess, as you could say. And I actually spoke with a general from the Danish Army that that told me that his company had found mustard gas warheads in Saddam's playground, for lack of a better word, and that it was definitely there. And I couldn't really give my opinion on that because, as a journalist, as I'm sure you know, you're supposed to be unbiased and just report the news, which we have very little, if any, of nowadays. But
I was going to say that's somewhat of a joke in today's environment, I think.
Yeah, it's hard to find, that's for sure. But I definitely was interested in politics, and they had a kind of a scandalous falling out there at GOPUSA. So I kind of quit them, and about the same time I quit them, they quit using freelance reporters and it just became a wire service, more or less. And I decided I'd go ahead and go on my own doing my blogging, and that way I could tell the news, but I could still tell my side of it at the same time. And, of course, I always thought I was right, so it's a perfect match.
Sure.
Perfect match.
So, and all this inspired you to write your book?
Yeah, basically what my book is, I did the Mr. Right Opinion blog, which I plan to return to, but I did it up until I had to have a cutoff point for the book. So up until February, I took all the articles that I had written in the past little over two years and condensed them into a book. It's called Mr. Right Opinion, Unplugged and Unashamed, One Man's Musings During Perilous Times in America's History. And it's a long, long title. But anyway, I put all my articles in one book there and thought, well, if I could, the more people I can reach with my message, hopefully the more people I'll be able to influence. And that really is what this is all about, is I don't have the audacity to dream, as some politicians do, I can change the whole world, but if I can change a few minds and make some impact along the way, that's my goal, I'll be a happy man if I raise my children properly and am able to inspire a few others to maybe follow my footsteps in the vein of, conservatism.
Mike, so when did the book actually become available?
It's still not. I spoke with them last week, and I gave them a final payment on their payment plan since I'm self-publishing. And it should be available, they told me, within 10 to 12 business days, and that was Friday, I believe. So I'm hoping by the end of this week or the first part of next.
So we're close.
Right, we're getting close.
Absolutely. before I forget, Mike, why don't you go ahead and give out any contact or website information you'd like so people maybe can check and find out when the book is available or reach you if they have a question or comment.
Okay, I'll tell you what, I'll go ahead and copy and paste the website where the book is for sale or will be for sale. Let's see. There it is. www.51756.authorworld.com, and that's just what the publishers gave me. You know, wasn't my choice of blog website names, but you know, what are you gonna do?
That's right.
It's a freebie, so you know, I'm not gonna complain about it. Not gonna complain. And then my blog, that's on Blogstream. I'll go ahead and post that in there too, in case anybody wants to read when I get back to writing about it. Read what's going on there. Let me see here if I can get it going. There's that one. So it's MrWrightOpinion.blogstream.com, and then there's also MrWrightOpinion.townhall.com.
And did you get into the Black Talk Radio host business?
I did. I am. A few weeks ago, a buddy of mine, Ned Kariva, you may have heard his name. He's the founder of the Stop the ACLU Coalition, and he's a hell of a man. I'll tell you, he's a good man. He's helped me through some hard times and issues that were going on in my personal life that, you know, had to do with my kids that I can't really talk about on the air. But you know, he just helped see me through a lot. And I was actually going to be his state coordinator for Stop the ACLU Coalition, but I had so many things going on with the custody battle and everything at that time that I couldn't do it. But he and I have started a show on Blog Talk. It's called the Mr. Right Opinion Show. I tried to change it to the Mr. Right Opinion and Ned Stop the ACLU Guy Show. But I can't figure that out. Some of these days I will. But for now, it's just called the Mr. Right Opinion Show. But I always put Ned Stop the ACLU Guy in there for the day's topic anyway, you know.
And do you have a regular schedule, or is it?
We are on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 1:30 to 3.
1:30 East time?
East time, yes. I know it's prime time for Rush Limbaugh listeners, and if that turns out to be a problem, then maybe we'll readjust. But for now, that's what it is anyway.
Mike, if normally on these Meet the Author shows, we talk about the writing and the finding a publisher and so forth. But I'd like to take advantage of your expertise as a political conservative columnist and blogger and journalist, and ask you a couple of questions about the election. So there's a lot of stuff going on right now in the news.
Yes, certainly.
The primaries and so forth. Have you got time to answer a couple of questions about that?
Oh, sure, absolutely.
Okay. In the great scheme of things, and you've been following politics for several years, where do you rate this presidential election in the order of importance? How critical an election do you think this is compared to recent past elections?
Well, you know, there's a couple different questions within a question. I rate this as far as importance goes, as probably one of the top two, maybe three elections in my lifetime, but I'd have to say probably the top two. One was... Actually, we didn't even know it at the time, but in 99-2000 election, we didn't realize the mess that we were going to be hit with in September of that year. But I thank God every day that we ended up with the commander-in-chief that we did, that could deal with, you know, have the wherewithal to deal with terrorism and to fight it and combat it and take the fight to the enemy instead of waiting for them to bring it back to us again. And, you know, that was one certainly of the most important. We just didn't know it when we were placing the votes.
Mm-hmm.
However, this now, we are at a point where we cannot afford to just, I know they say Marines never retreat, they just attack to the rear, you know. We can't afford to attack to the rear right now, or retreat, because that would leave Iraq in such a mess, regardless of how you feel about the way we got there. We're there now. And, you know, if we just withdraw, pull all our troops out, as Obama wants to do, and Hillary one day wants to do, and the next day kind of has a plan for another strategy, we can't afford to do it, because that country would be in such a power vacuum, and nature abhors a vacuum, and it will fill it. And unfortunately, I'm afraid it'll fill it with the extremists that are already there and ready to go, you know. And I know for a fact that if Hussein Obama, Barack Hussein Obama, should happen to, God forbid, end up in the White House, I know that one of his first mandates will be to pull all our troops out of Iraq. And while that might look good to a lot of people that have said, hey, this is dragged out for 4 years now or 5 years now, you know, we have to keep things in perspective. Yes, it has drug out some. However, we also haven't had the casualty rate that you saw in a Vietnam or, you know, or even Korea or anything like of that nature. We are still technically at war with North Korea. As I understand it, we never really signed a peace agreement, you know. And we have troops in South Korea still to this day. So a troop presence doesn't mean a troop engagement. You know, it doesn't mean an active engagement, as so many have liked to paint John McCain with having said, you know, we'll be there fighting for 100 years. Well, that's not what he meant. You know, he meant we could be there for 100 years, but as a peacekeeping role, you know.
Meaning a presence without a combat role.
Right, right. Just kind of overwatching, overseeing things, you know, to make sure nothing gets too out of whack. And, you know, that's basically the difference between the Republican candidate and either of the two Democrats.
Do you, Mike, the conventional wisdom, right, as of today anyway, seems to be that Obama's got this thing wrapped up on the Democrat side, and it's just a matter of maybe another couple of weeks or the final primaries, perhaps on June 3rd, before Hillary formally bows out. Do you see it that way? Do you see much chance of Hillary somehow getting the nomination?
You know, I really am having a hard time seeing it. I know the Clintons are slick, and you know, they've got friends in high places and high friends in low places. And, you know, everybody says you can never count them out, you know, and I was utterly surprised when he wasn't convicted on the impeachment. But, you know, there are some things that just have to happen in life, and I'm afraid, you know, sucking one up and taking a loss is one of them. And it looks like that's probably what they're going to have to do this time around.
Do you think now, if Hillary is, in fact, defeated by Obama, do you see this as more or less being the end of the Clinton reign, the Clinton regime, the Clinton dynasty?
I do. I think that unless Chelsea somehow pops up in the next 4 to 8 years as a political figurehead, that this will be the end of it. You know, I think, you know, they'll both go on collecting presidential pensions and senatorial pensions and making speeches all over the world to writing books, you know, and they'll certainly not hurt for money, but their legacy will be hurt. It's already hurt, obviously, the Monica Gate and all that, but this will be the final nail, I think, in terms of trying to resuscitate the legacy goes.
Now, you know, I was listening to a program last night on TV, a political program, and they were doing speculation, which is a lot of that now, about vice presidential choices in both sides. And when they were making their predictions on the Democrat side, it was, you know, the so-called dream ticket, Obama, Clinton, him on top, her VP. And one of the pundits that was on this program said, you know, first of all, he thinks there is legitimate bad blood between the two camps, even though they could, for the sake of the party, perhaps could still be on the same ticket. But he said Obama's message has been change and going to the future. To put Hillary on the ticket, knowing that Bill, of course, and that whole, you know, 8 years of investigations and that whole gang would be part of this thing,
right.
He said he thinks would be... it would be tough for Obama to justify that after he's talked about, you know, getting rid of the past and going to the future. And I hadn't really thought about that before, but I think there was a certain amount of logic in that. And this guy was a Democrat pundit. He was not a Republican. But there was a certain amount of logic there that if the whole message has been we want to move forward to the future, and then you put the Clintons in... So I'm not so sure that that would make the dream ticket people are speculating about.
No, I don't. I'm not so sure either. And in fact, if I were a Democrat, I would have major problems with, you know, the way that they play ball. I mean, just in general, they're dirty and sneaky and underhanded, and they've done to the party what the good Reverend Jeremiah Wright claims that Bill had done to Monica, you know, and in all honesty, and a word for Barack would be watch your back, because if you're going to let this lady be your second in command, then there's no telling, you know, what might happen with him. Some mysterious ailment might befall him, you know, and you never know. I mean, you know, it's just going by your history, you know, and the people you associate with and you deny that you associate with and things like that. Obama, I think, has a real problem in Jeremiah Wright. I think, you know, he wanted to be this one that could bring an end to all the racial hatred and racism in this country and everything. And, you know, things have done nothing but gotten uglier and uglier since he started running his campaign, really. I don't know how he's going to get elected. But then again, they got to elect one of them, you know.
Absolutely. I was... thinking too that particularly, I think if it's the Senator Obama is the nominee, which it appears it will be, that it's going to be a very distinct difference between. And I know McCain gets a lot of talk that he's Republican in name only, and so on and so forth. But I think on a lot of the major issues, there's going to be clear differences, such as the Iraq policy for one. So I think it'll be relatively easy for voters to realize that they aren't looking at two very similar candidates or two similar philosophies. There are some big differences between the two.
Right, but you know, the one thing I've noticed, they are starting to have a lot more problems in finding differences between the Republican nominee or the presumptive nominee, whatever you want to call him, John McCain, in justifying their own vote for him. You know, the right is really having a hard time bringing itself to even hold its nose and pull the lever for John McCain right now.
It seems like about every week, and I guess I can understand the strategy. He needs independence, and perhaps some liberals are dissatisfied Democrats. But...
Right.
Every time it seems though he leans that direction or gives some kind of a talk or states a policy position that would appeal to those people, then he loses any conservative support he's gained.
Right.
And like you say, people are saying that, I've heard that talk anyway, that from going to the poll to vote for him, where they're holding their nose to not going at all.
Right. Exactly. And, you know, he's out giving a speech on global warming today.
And that's not going to set well in some quarters.
No, no, especially when even the science says that we're heading actually into a cool period.
Well, it's going to be interesting in the next few months here. And, Mike, I want to get back. I'm sorry I took so much time away from the writing.
Oh, you're fine. Hey, it's what I love to do. It's quite all right.
But between now and the election, we'll get together again maybe and just talk politics as this thing unfolds. And I'd be interested in getting your opinions as it becomes more clear exactly what's going on, who's who, and what the strategies are.
Right.
So
right.
Would you be up to that?
Absolutely, anytime you want.
Okay, now let's finish on a writing note. We got about 4 minutes left here. Once you had your manuscript completed, and you already mentioned that you opted for a self-publishing route, now, do you have now or are you going to have shortly a marketing plan? Have you thought about how you're going to get the book out there and get it to sell?
I'm sorry. I was having computer issues, and I'm trying to fix it and listen to you at the same time. Could you say it again?
Sure. I'm wondering, getting into the marketing aspect of the writing business,
okay.
I'm wondering if while you were writing the manuscript or while you've been waiting to have the manuscript actually finished at the printers, if you've developed or are developing a marketing strategy or marketing plan about how you're going to get the book out there.
Yeah, this is part of it, doing this kind of thing, you know, getting on talk shows as much as I can, either conservative or liberal, you know, either one, because I think my book goes to both dimensions and would appeal to both dimensions, actually. And also, interestingly enough, I had submitted my manuscript to a different publisher months ago and hadn't heard back from them in that time and went with a different publisher. And then a couple of days ago, I get a call saying, yeah, we'd like to put you under contract because we love your book.
Really?
Yeah. And I said, well, I wish you'd let me know that about 3 months ago before I started spending all kinds of money trying to get it published.
Isn't that the way it all seems to work?
Yeah, it is. And, you know, this was Tate Publishing. And they told me that they publish maybe 5% of the tens of thousands of submissions they get every year.
Right.
So, you know, it was a real boost to my ego, but it doesn't help me out at all as far as, you know, getting it published. But it is going to be published. And like I said, the website I gave out up there, 51756.authorworld.com, you could buy it there. And also, they could go to AuthorHouse.com, which is the publisher, AuthorHouse.com, and go to the bookstore. You know, just click on Bookstore tab, enter Mike Minton, and my book will come up.
Mike, I just got a message. I don't know if you can see it there, from Karen.
Uh-huh.
Mr. Right Opinion, hello, and I cracked up at your minorities post.
Minorities post. It must have been on the blog. Let me see. Yeah, it was.
Karen, I've never met Karen, but she's tuned in quite frequently, so I always look forward to hearing from her.
Thanks, Karen, for the compliment. Yeah, I had actually reposted something that was sent to me at that point, but it was funny. It's one of those things you have to see.
So that's on your blog, probably?
It's on my blog, yeah, blogstream.com.
Okay. We'll check that out afterward. So, and will you let me know, in case I forget, just send me an email when your book is out, and I'll post an announcement, too, so people know when it's actually available.
It'd be wonderful, Benny. I'd appreciate it, and I'll be sure to do that.
Okay, I appreciate that. Last thing, do you have any tips that you would give an aspiring writer, somebody just thinking about starting a manuscript? I'd come up to you and ask you for a tip or two regarding the writing business. Do you have anything you'd specifically want to mention?
Well, I would say don't let anybody talk you out of it. You know, if it's something in your heart that you feel is absolutely a good writing and other people would benefit from it, like one person told me, I'm too black and white and I'm not open enough. Well, I think that's exactly where my niche is going to be, is I am black and white. And you either love me or hate me. And if you love me, hopefully you'll buy my book. And if you hate me, maybe you'll buy it and give even more reasons to hate me, you know.
So dark headed. Mike, we just got cut off from the live stream here, so I'm going to wind it down.
Okay.
Thank you so much for being on. I really appreciate it, and I enjoyed both the book and the political chat.
Absolutely.
And we'll get together again. Let me know when your book comes out, and we'll get together again in the next few months on some political stuff.
It's amazing how fast this time can go by, isn't it?
It certainly is. Very surprising.
I know, we do an hour and a half show, man, and it seems like it's over before we even get started.
Yeah, time flies when you're having fun, right?
Yes, sir. Yep. I'd love to be able to come out there, by the way, and be able to do that in October, but I don't see any.
You never know. If things catch on, you might be getting some huge royalty checks, and you'll be looking for ways to invest that money, like in a nice vacation.
Right. You never know.
I think the good thought.
Right.
Okay, Mike, thanks an awful lot again. We'll be talking with you.
Okay, take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And again, that was Mike Minton, and I want to thank him again for being on, and hopefully his book will be out in the very near future, and I'll make